you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I'm looking forward to that day. I want you all, everybody that's here tonight, I've already asked the church to pray, but just pray. You know, I don't want to organize it that day to celebrate 50 years apart from God. I want God's help. I want God's will. God knows what'll work and what won't. He knew what would float before it ever rained. Amen. He knows the plan. Amen. So help us pray. God will just have his way in that celebration service. I'll try not to be before you long tonight, but let me share a thought with you tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 is where we are tonight. I'm not going to read the whole chapter for the sake of time. We'll be in a lot of it anyway as we go through the message. But let's look tonight at a verse of Scripture over here. We've been preaching on the coming of the Lord. Jesus is coming. He may come before November the 12th. Amen. He may come before the sun comes up in the morning. He may come before Brother Brian gets back to Houston. He may come before we even go to sleep tonight. I hope you're ready for his coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible said in verse number 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to preach tonight this last message about the coming of the Lord as it pertains to sanctification. I believe that God wants to work in your heart and wants to work in my heart as believers. Pray with me for a moment. Father in heaven, we need you tonight. Thank you, God, for the testimonies of your people. Thank you, God, for the choir singing, the special singing. Thank you, dear God, tonight that, Lord, we can get together. God, it ain't no wonder you told us, Lord, not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and even so much the more as you see the day approaching. Our God, the day is surely approaching when our Lord will come. Help us to be found faithful. God, I pray tonight, save that one that's nearest hell. Help them, Lord, tonight to escape the judgment and the damnation that's to come. God, will give you glory in Jesus' name. And amen and amen. I just want to remind you tonight, this series of messages took off out of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We talked about the evidence of the coming of the Lord. If there's evidence in our life as believers, if we believe Jesus is coming, we talked about that evidence as it pertains to pleasing God and the will of God. We talked about how it pertains to holiness in our life, how it pertains to honesty in our life, and how it pertains to hope in our life. God's people have a hope that this world doesn't know anything about. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. Then I got to read it in the book of Thessalonians, and the Lord showed me that his coming is not only in chapter number 4, but it's in chapter 1, it's in chapter 2, it's in chapter 3, it's in chapter 4, it's in chapter 5. And then when you go to 2 Thessalonians, it's in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. I believe Paul wanted this church to understand and know Jesus is coming. And friend of mine, listen, we better not be like the world, amen, that scoff. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, honey, he's coming. He's coming. One day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Just been gone a couple of days. Honey, he'll be back shortly. Yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. In chapter 1, it pertained to salvation, how the coming of the Lord, they turned to God from idols to serve the true and the living God and to wait for his Son from heaven. In chapter 2, it was concerning souls, how that Paul said, "What is our hope, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ?" The coming of the Lord will get you concerned about souls. In chapter number 3, it's concerning the saints. To the end, in verse number 13, "They establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I like the word "all." with all his saints. Honey, all of God's judgments are going to make it home. Amen. And we're going to gather inside that gate around the throne of God. And then in chapter number 4, we see his coming as it pertains to the Savior. The Bible said here, for the Lord himself. Honey, he's not sending somebody. He's coming himself. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And then in chapter number 5, that's where we're going to park for just a few minutes tonight. We see his coming as it pertains to sanctification. The word sanctified means to set apart. And God wants his people, both in the Old Testament, he told them, you're different. I've put a difference between Israel and the rest of the world. And he's made the church different, a peculiar people. Amen. And he wants us, beloved, to be sanctified for the master's use, meet for the master's use. Let me just give you a couple of things tonight. Number one, in verse number 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. We ought to be sanctified because of the times that we live in. Honey, we're living in perilous times. We're living in uncertain times. We're living in unsettled times. Amen. And I believe God's people ought to be settled tonight and established tonight. But the Bible tells us we ought to be sanctified because of the time that we live in. The Bible said, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You know, many may not know this. Some do know. But back in January, my home was robbed. And I tell you what, I'd give anything if I'd have known when this coming. Say amen. I'd have greeted them at the door. I guarantee you I would have. Amen. I'd give somebody the shirt off my back, but don't steal it from me. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, listen, God's people are not supposed to be asleep. That coming is not supposed to take us unawares. The Word of God said we ought to know because of the time that we're living in that Jesus is coming. We know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. We ought to be sanctified because of the time that we live in. Secondly, we ought to be sanctified because of the turmoil that this world is facing. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 3. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Beloved, when a lady gives birth, listen, she can be going along and going along and going along, but then all of a sudden, she understands and knows, I need to get to the hospital. I need to get in the doctor's care because this baby's telling me he's coming out or she's coming out of me. Amen. And that labor and that travail lets them know. And God said here, my friend, the world is facing turmoil. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. You can listen to anybody you want to in politics. Listen to everybody, anybody you want to over there, beloved. In this world, the situation, all they want is peace. All they talk is peace. I tell you, we're going to get peace one day. But when that's going to come is when the Prince of Peace comes. Until then, they're going to talk about it, but they'll never see it. Because peace is not in mankind's heart, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this world does not know him tonight in the free pardon of sin. So we see tonight we ought to be sanctified because of the time we live in, because of the turmoil that this world is facing. Let me just say this tonight. You say, well, preacher, there's earthquakes. Yes, there is. There's floods. Yes, there is. There's hurricanes. Yes, there is. But I'm going to stop and say this tonight. This world ain't seen nothing yet. You wait till the wrath of God falls on this place. Amen. It do you and I good to remember that everything we're looking at's going to go up in smoke one day after a while. God's going to set it on fire. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, beloved friend, we ought to be sanctified because of the turmoil that this world faces. Then thirdly tonight, I won't be before you long, but listen to this. The Bible said, Paul said, I pray God that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say this tonight. Let me just say. In the flesh, none of us perfect. Man says he's without sin, he's lying to you. Amen. But I'll tell you this tonight. I believe with the help of the Holy Spirit, God can take his people. He can set them aside. He can make them meet fit for the master's use. And he can sanctify us, amen, and use us even in this generation that we live in. We ought to be sanctified because of the time we live in, because of the turmoil this world is facing. But then thirdly tonight, we ought to be sanctified because of the truth that we walk in. Remember what Jesus prayed in John 17? Jesus prayed like this. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You remember this morning when we went in the tabernacle, we went through the gate, we went to the brazen altar, and then you come to the laver, amen, that was made out of bronze. And beloved, listen, I'm so glad, thank God, this book is still washing God's people and cleansing us and helping us along the way. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. You say, Peter said, no, I'm not going to let you wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. He said, okay, don't just wash my feet, wash me all over. He said, listen, you don't need to be washed all over. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you'll never be saved again. And you don't need to be washed all over again. But your feet will get filthy in this world that we live in. We need the washing of the water by the word, the cleansing that comes through the word of God. We ought to be sanctified because of the truth that we walk in. Look at verse number 4. The truth concerning his coming. Aren't you glad you know? But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Beloved, listen tonight. We know the truth concerning his coming. But there's all kinds of people in Bloomingdale, right around this church, right around Good Shepherd, right around Kingsport, right here in the Bible Belt, that do not know the truth. Jesus is coming. And we ought to be sounding the trumpet, sounding the warning, amen. Jesus is coming. The truth concerning his coming. The truth concerning his children. Look at verse number 5. And you are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. I used to preach them old boys in prison. I'd say, you know when most of the meanness goes on, don't you, boys? At night, when the lights go down, amen? When the sun sets, beloved, that's when most of the meanness in the world goes on, at night. But God said his children are not children of the night, but they're children of the day. We're walking in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a difference it makes in the life of the believer. The truth concerning his children. Beloved, the truth, my friend, is convicting. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Watch what verse 6 said. Let us therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let me ask you something. You're saved tonight. You're saved tonight. Has there ever been a time in your life when you wasn't watching like you should have been watching? Let me tell you something right now. Beloved, listen. The devil will never wake anybody up. He wants us to do like the disciples, sleep all now. That's what he wants. He wants us to go to sleep while the world goes to hell. But God said we're children of the light, children of the day, and we're to be watching and to be sober. You don't watch for those children, who will? Brother Aaron, if you don't watch for them, who will? God gives you and Miss Amanda grandchildren. If you don't watch for them, who will? Beloved, we need to be watching for our children. We need to be watching for our community. We need to be watching for our country. Our country's gone if God don't give us revival in these days that we live in. Oh, beloved friend, there's the truth, and it's a convicting truth. Watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Aren't you glad, thank the Lord tonight, that God has given us this truth that we can walk in. This truth is convicting. I want to give you this tonight. I praise God for the word of God. This truth is comforting. Look what the Bible said. The Bible said, who died for us? Look at verse 10. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live. Look at that next word. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered. A lot of people don't quote this right.
Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. God's people are fixing to get together. When Jesus comes, God's people are fixing to get together. Amen. I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to practice on the way. We ought to get together around the things of God. The Bible said here, wherefore, comfort yourselves. Look at that word again. Together. God wants his people as we await the coming of the Lord. Let me just say this to you tonight. Sanctification's not working real good in my life if I'm at odds with you or you're at odds with me. God wants us to get whatever we are at odds about, get it worked out, get it ironed out, get it forgiven, and go on for the glory of God. Amen. Beloved friend, the Bible tells us this truth is comforting. Then let me give you this. I'm just about done. This truth is challenging. We're talking about the truth concerning his children. It's a challenging truth. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. It don't just come naturally. It comes supernaturally. It doesn't come just because we want it. It comes because God gives it and we're willing to receive from him. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Look at it with me. Look at verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Look what the Bible said. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And then the Bible said this. And be at peace among yourselves. Oh, you say, preacher, I've been in church for 50 years and I ain't never seen a fuss. I'm glad for you. Say amen right there. I tell you, the coming of the Lord ought to knock a fuss out of every one of us. And we ought to be at peace among ourselves. It's challenging. The flesh doesn't want peace. It wants turmoil. God said he wanted peace. Sanctification in the coming of our Lord. Be at peace. Now watch this. He said, verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. I'll tell you one thing God will teach you in the ministry as you go along. He'll teach you some patience. I'm telling you, when I first started out, everything that was wrong, I just wanted to grab it by the horns and deal with it. I'm going to tell you what I do when I do that and what you'll do when you do that. You'll make a mess. But if we'll learn to pray and we'll learn to be patient and we'll let God work things out, amen. Many times he'll do exactly that. It's challenging, the truth. It's challenging. Look at this. The Bible said in verse number 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. You say, preacher, oh, that's so easy. No, it's not. Won't you be honest? You can only do that with God's help. What we want to do in the flesh is when somebody gives us evil, we want to give them evil right back. Watch what the Bible said here. Render unto no man evil, evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves, watch this now, and to all men. That means if you're at odds with a sinner man down there on the corner somewhere, you might ought to go down there and say, you know what? I know you don't know the Lord, but I do know him, and God's done told me I'm wrong. Well, you say, preacher, I ain't going to do that. I tell you what, you'll never be all that you can be for the glory of God until you do. Not just the saints of God, but all men, the Word of God said. Watch this now. It's challenging. I told you it was. And then the Bible said, see that none render evil for evil, both among yourselves, all men. Look at verse number 16. Rejoice evermore. Let me ask you something. Is that challenging? Do you always feel like rejoicing? Well, no, God didn't say rejoice if you feel like it. He said rejoice evermore. You say, how are we going to do that? I'll tell you how, in the Spirit. That's the only way we can do it. The flesh don't know anything about rejoicing. Watch this now. He said pray without ceasing. Little boy over in Wise County, his mama, they had stopped somewhere, fast food place, got something to eat. His mama was asking the blessing over the prayer. And right in the middle of the blessing, maybe there was some pepper on it or something. But she sneezed real big. Not three times, Brother Wayne, amen, but just once. Real big, amen. She let out a big sneeze. She got done praying. That little boy, about 5 or 6 years old, said, Mama, the Bible said to pray without sneezing. No, that's not what the Bible said. And to pray without ceasing, beloved, is a challenge. Somebody help me. You say we want to be sanctified, holy. Well, God gives us some things that are challenging that must take place in our life. The Bible said, look here in verse number 18, in everything give thanks. Oh, that's just so easy. No, it's not. You know it's not. But that's the will of God. That's what the Bible said. That's the will of God. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Some of my brothers and sisters are going through things that I would to God they didn't have to go through. You say, how in the world, preacher, could you give thanks? Well, I tell you what I can do, Brother Sam. I can thank God. The day's coming when we won't know anything about leukemia anymore. Don't. The Bible said there'll be no more curse. I can thank God, beloved, listen, that though there are things that can take us out of this world, there's nothing can take us out of His hands. Everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's a lady that loved God, infidel neighbor, made fun of her. He found out she was without groceries. He went and bought some groceries, set them in front of the door, knocked on the door, and run around the corner of the house. The lady came out, looked down in the grocery bag, said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That old infidel come around the corner, stepped up on the porch, and said, honey, the Lord didn't have nothing to do with that. I bought the groceries, and I brought them here and set them on your porch. She looked up and said, thank you, Lord, for the groceries, and thank you for letting the devil deliver them. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'll tell you what, I don't know what I'll face when I leave this world. But God put something in my heart, I guess a year or so back. I've said it several times. I don't know what I'll go through, but I know this. I won't go through it alone. I've got a Savior that lives inside of me. I've got the saints of God that surround me. I don't know what I'll go through before I leave this world, but I thank my God I'll not go through it alone. We're not even going to go through the clouds alone. We're going to be together. Hallelujah. Just inside the Eastern Gate over there, I'll meet you. In the morning. Sanctification. It's challenging. The Bible said in verse 19. Brother Ted, I'll never read this verse of scripture again without thinking about that testimony. It said, quench not the spirit. One of our men stood up one night and said, I want to ask a church to forgive me. He said, I've quenched the spirit of God. I'm going to tell you something right now. He said, well, preacher, I've never quenched the spirit of God. You probably just did when you lied about it. I'm going to tell you tonight, the truth of sanctification is challenging in the heart and lives of God's people. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Now, the way we would apply that today is don't despise your Bible. Let me just tell you something about this Bible. I've been around long enough to know how some people approach their Bible. They approach it like a garden. They go where the flowers are that they like. Help me. You don't get to pick and choose, honey, in this Bible. It's all God's Word. Every word of God is what we're supposed to live by. The Bible said, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesy, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. How about this for challenging? Abstain from all appearance of evil. I'm going to tell you what, God wants to sanctify us. But we've got to line up with the truth concerning His children. And when we'll do that, God will work in our hearts and work in our lives. He'll make us more like His Son. Beloved friend, I don't know about you tonight. The Bible said the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was excited about what Timothy had told him about what was going on at Thessalonica. I tell you what I hope. I hope the Lord will be excited about what's going on in our lives when He comes for us in the air. There's the truth concerning His calling. Look at verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. Let me just say this. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. He never changes His mind. And beloved, that's a truth that ought to keep us keeping on, keeping on. God has never looked down and said, "Boy, I wish I'd have just left Brother Vinoy alone." He's never done that. He never turns His mind or His back on His children. What a blessing that is tonight. Brethren, the Bible said in verse 25, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I want to give you something tonight in closing. We're talking about the coming of the Lord as it pertains to sanctification. Philip Brooks, the former minister of Boston's Trinity Episcopal Church, is perhaps best known as the author of the song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." He was a very busy pastor, yet he always seemed relaxed and unburdened, willing to take time for anyone in need. This brought conviction to my heart when I read it. Shortly before Brooks died, a young friend wrote to him and asked the secret of his strength and serenity. In a heartfelt response, Brooks credited his still growing relationship with Christ. It was still growing. It hadn't gone stagnant. He wrote, "The more I've thought it over, the more sure it has seemed to me that these last years have had a peace and a fullness which there did not used to be. It is a deeper knowledge and a truer love of Christ." God led me to read this tonight. I'm not finished yet, just another sentence or two. One of the reasons is, how many knows that deeper knowledge, that fuller love? Brother Ralph, it ain't coming in the courtyard. Over that holy place we talked about this morning. That's where it's going to come from. Then he said, "I cannot tell you how personal this grows to me. He is here. He knows me. And I know Him." That reminds me of what Paul said. He had been saved. He was preaching. He was serving God. He was writing. But he said that I may know Him. What would happen at Bible Way if a whole bunch of people begin to say that I may know Him? The fellowship of His suffering. The power of His resurrection. Being made conformable unto His death. Even the death of the cross. He said He's here. He knows me and I know Him. It is the most real thing in the world. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is Jesus real to you? Every day makes it more real. And one wonders with delight what it will grow to as the years go on. That's what this pastor said. I tell you tonight, we need to get to know Him. Help me. You say, "Preacher, I'm already saved." I know. We're not talking about salvation tonight. Talking about sanctification. And by the way, beloved, as long as we're in this world, that is a never-ending process. There are men in this room. I don't know if there's any ladies, and if I did, I wouldn't tell you. But there are men in this room that are over 80 years old, still being sanctified, still agreeing with Pastor that some of these things we read tonight are challenging. This old flesh stinks, and if you don't know your flesh stinks, you ain't smelled it in a while. It stinks. But God can help us to bring that flesh through the Spirit of God and the Word of God to a place where we can be sanctified, meet for the Master's use. I'm just glad you come this way tonight.
Amen.
I've enjoyed being here tonight. I want you to pray for us, will you? Pray for your pastor. Pray, God, don't ever let him get satisfied in the courtyard. Would you? Want to be praying for our teenagers? Oh, God, get them out of the courtyard. Get them into that holy place. Want to be praying for our country. Praying for our churches. I believe with all my heart, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Honey, there ain't nobody seeking God's face in the courtyard. That happens in the holy place. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. And I'll heal their land. I'm going to say something tonight. Listen to me carefully. Y'all know that there have been times when our last president was in office, I didn't care to tell you what I thought about some things. I'm going to tell you tonight, I don't believe the term SOB ought to be coming out of any president's mouth.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We want God's blessings on our country. We're going to have to get back to God's way.
Amen.
That goes from the pulpit to the pew to the President of the United States. Tonight, the truth as it pertains to the coming of Jesus and our sanctification. I hope tonight that God has said something that will challenge us along the way. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for your people. Lord, tonight, I'm glad you didn't leave us without a witness. Lord, the Spirit of God is so real. Lord, your Word is so real. God, I thank you for your people that are real. Lord, they're the same Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. They're not just Sunday go to meeting Christians. Lord, they love you. They serve you every day of the week. God, would you help us in this generation that we might see a difference? Lord, help us to see people saved. See the saints of God stirred. And Lord, we'll give you glory.